Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
First 100 days of our new president is coming up, and it's going to come up this weekend. Of course, the first 100 days goes back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who accomplished a tremendous amount in his first 100 days, basically stopped the country from falling further into the Great Depression, did a bank holiday, put banks on sound footing, and the economy went up from there. Since then, every president has been measured by their 100 days. Donald Trump repeatedly said all the things he would do in his first 100 days. But as the time approaches, he's both moving around as quickly as possible, very much like a chicken with its head cut off. That's actually a great Southern expression, because when you kill a chicken by chopping its head off, its nerves are still going, so it keeps running around even though it has no head. And I kind of see Donald Trump, a chicken with no head. It's kind of a good image for him. Anyway, Donald Trump is complaining about the standard. He tweeted out, quote, "No matter how much I accomplished during the ridiculous standard of the first 100 days, and it has been a lot, including Supreme Court, media will kill." Well, I'm not so sure it has been a lot. We'll talk about the Supreme Court, the one thing that Mitch McConnell accomplished, and why. Everything from health care to tax cuts to the environment to just avoiding corruption and scandal, I would say his first 100 days are pretty pathetic. But he's trying. He's really trying. And he's really trying to move fast to meet the standard that he called ridiculous. Just today, he announced that he was going to privatize a whole bunch of U.S. national parks. And he didn't seem to understand why Republicans want it privatized. They obviously don't care about the environment or the beauty of our nation. They just want to drill oil in places like, I don't know, the Grand Canyon, something like that. I could see that oil rig, right? You could have it right over the top, right in the middle of the crack. That's why they want it. They don't want the federal government to keep them from bombing mountains, for example. One of the things they like to do to get coal, as you know, is they bomb mountains in the Appalachian. They take these beautiful rolling mountains that have been around for 4 billion years, some of the earliest on the planet, and turn them into lunar landscapes. Because we all know that birds and trees and wildlife and flowers, that's just ugly. What we really want is a barren, rocky landscape. In any case, that's why the previous administration, and frankly every other administration before Obama's, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, dating all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt, have used a 100-year-old law, going back to Teddy Roosevelt, back when there were progressive Republicans who cared about the environment, to set aside beautiful parts of our beautiful country so they wouldn't be despoiled by mining and oil interests and oil spills into our beautiful forests or streams or mountains. In any case, Donald Trump doesn't seem to have gotten the memo, because as he was reading, and I saw this today, as he was reading about how he was going to privatize all these public lands, he didn't seem to know his own message. He kept talking about how beautiful the lands were. Oops, off script. You see, if you think they're beautiful, you should want to preserve them, not destroy them. That wasn't in his script, but, you know, he riffed a bit. He also talked about how this was going to preserve them for the American people. Oops, no. He's actually taking them away from the American people and giving them to private interests to rape and pillage and destroy our public lands for whatever tiny bit of fossil fuels they can get out of them. So it's just funny how, as he destroys the environment, he doesn't really even understand the script. He was talking about bear's ears. this beautiful stretch of land in Utah. And Utah is a profoundly beautiful state. If you've ever been out there, whether the canyons, Moab Canyon, the Red Rock Canyon, these incredible colors, natural colors that have been around for millennia. And I haven't been to Bears Ears, but I understand it's really beautiful. And, you know, Donald Trump says it is really beautiful. In fact, he even said, quote, "There's nothing more beautiful in the world," unquote, in his wonderful hyperbole. Well, if there's nothing more beautiful in the world, why would he take it away from the American people and give it to some private mining interest that would blow it up? See, he doesn't seem to even understand his own message. He's doing what the Republicans want him to do through executive order, of course. Remember when Republicans used to complain about executive orders, call them, when Obama did it, tyrannical, say they should go through ordinary legislation? Well, Donald Trump's doing it all through executive orders, ruining the environment, and doesn't even seem to realize that when he talks about its beauty. A lot more than that, of course, he has a new health care proposal. This time it's going to go through. This time they're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. In order to get the Freedom Caucus on board, they're just going to have to make it tougher. So the new plan that they're looking at, what it does is it basically denies coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. If you have pre-existing conditions now, you're just going to have to die. Sorry, folks, if you have a pre-existing condition, Trump care will kill you, literally. I mean, the irony is when Sarah Palin talked about death panels, there weren't any in the Affordable Care Act, in Obamacare, but Trump care, you don't need a panel. It's go directly to death. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I'm sorry I'm so glib. I guess I am because I know this won't pass either. But the new Trump care plan is to deny coverage to people with pre-existing conditions, breaking, by the way, his pledges in campaign after campaign. And also he's going to try to raise the rates on the elderly. He's going to take poor elderly people and make them pay a lot more for health care. Now, you may recall prior to the New Deal and certainly prior to Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty, the elderly were some of the poorest people in America. That happens not to be true anymore. But Donald Trump is working to make them poor again. So, again, when you think about who voted for Donald Trump, they tend to be elderly, white, rural men, right? If you're an elderly, white, rural man, chances are pretty strong you voted for Donald Trump, particularly if you have a low education. Put all those things together. Well, if you have a low education, you're probably not earning very much. So if you are working class, if you're struggling to get along, and you're a poor, elderly, rural man, Donald Trump, under Trump care, is going to make you pay more for your health care. I don't think this will pass, even in the unlikely chance it passes the House. I don't think it'll pass the Senate. And as an American, I'm glad to know it won't pass. Now, as a Democrat, you know, if I were as Machiavellian as I think Republicans are, I'd hope it would pass. And then people would be miserable and people would die and they would throw out this orange monster. But I hope it doesn't pass because I don't want to see innocent people die. But he's running on health care, not going to get anywhere. He's going to destroy the environment as much as possible. And he's out there trying to stop sanctuary cities. That's not working either. A judge just ruled that he can't do that. So what is a sanctuary city? It sounds, and you know, the Republicans are really good with naming things. A sanctuary city sounds, first of all, it sounds good, right? Sanctuary. But the Republicans use it to suggest that cities are breaking the law. And what they're doing is they're not turning in undocumented immigrants when it's legally required. Well, the long and the short of it, if it's not legally required. And the reason it's not legally required is that not everyone is required to be a narc. You're not required to turn in your neighbor. Now, in East Germany, you were. If you didn't turn in your neighbor, whether it's East Germany or Nazi Germany, they could turn you in. But in this country, there's only one law enforcement agency that is designed to stop undocumented immigrants and to deport them. It's called ICE. It's the Immigration Service, used to be called the INS. And if someone has not committed a crime other than being here undocumented, then it is not the job of your local police force, your local mayor, your local school teacher, your local doctor or psychiatrist to turn someone in. Currently, cities already turn in criminals. If someone has committed a crime, then, yeah, the local police get involved, the state police get involved. That's a crime. And if you're taken in on a crime and the ICE asks you to turn them over to ICE, you get a detainer. Yeah, you turn them over. Even the sanctuary cities turn them over because that's required by law. But there's no requirement that local police enforce immigration laws, just like it's not required that your local teacher enforce speeding laws, right? Yeah, your local teacher may see the kid speeding, may suggest they slow down, but that's not their job. And I don't think we want it to be their job. And one of the reasons why we don't want local police to ask every single person about their immigrant status is because it increases crime. That's right, it increases crime. Donald Trump said today that the judge that said that his executive order was unconstitutional, that stopped him from putting in his request to defund all these sanctuary cities, he said that the blood of dead people is on that judge's hands. Really? The blood of dead people? Blood of dead Americans on that judge's hands? Sorry, Donald. The blood is on your hands because statistic after statistic shows that whatever slight good you might get by documenting, by deporting someone who has not committed a crime other than being undocumented. Remember, we're not talking about MS-13 gangs. We're not talking about people who have committed crimes because everyone agrees that all of them can be jailed and deported. In fact, jailing them is actually better than deporting them because you deport someone, they can come right back across the border. You put a bad guy in jail, he's not going to get out for a while. But if his proposal, if cities stopped being sanctuary cities and every single police officer was required to ask everyone their documented status, as were teachers and mayors and city officials, and anytime someone went in to seek help for domestic violence, for example, to a battered women's shelter, they required them to show their immigration papers. What would happen? Well, people would stop going to battered women's shelters. People would stop turning to the police. We've already seen it happen. We've already seen in cases where local police enforce immigration law, crimes in immigrant communities are reported 75% less.
I got 10.
Now, I don't think that that's because crimes are happening less. They're being reported less because people understand they'd rather let the rapist go. They'd rather let the drug dealer succeed. They'd rather not talk about the shooting in their community than be deported. It's a very rational result. So more people die, crime goes up, and frankly, the bad guys can commit more crime, more blood of dead Americans. So frankly, Donald Trump, that's exactly what your policy is doing. Lots more to talk about in this hour. I want to talk about Jared, the son-in-law in charge of reinventing the federal government, solving the problem in the Middle East, and dealing with Mexico, Iraq, and China. I want to talk about the spy in our midst, Mike Flynn, the first of the president's men to go under in this worse-than-Watergate-Russia scandal. I want to talk about the filibuster in the Supreme Court, and I haven't even gotten to the main topic yet on why Donald Trump's tax proposal is going to blow the deficit wide open. And why, if you're a fiscal conservative, you need to be a Democrat. Call in. Let me know your thoughts on any of these issues. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So much to talk about today. Donald Trump is trying really, really hard in his first 100 days to accomplish something. But well, he's backing down everywhere, and thank God he is. I said on Monday that I didn't think he would succeed with his wall. He said he was going to shut down the government if they don't build the wall. And everyone said, Donald, we're not building the wall. And so now it's like, don't build the wall. Well, first, of course, he said Mexico would pay for it. And then I think it was Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, that said deliciously, I am not going to build that effing wall. And he's not. They're not going to pay for it. That's just one more lie that Donald Trump sold his witless base that either, and I still don't understand this. I really would need to get a good Trumpist on the air. Did they believe him? Do they actually believe his lies? Because, you know, you can't call them stupid. That seems offensive to them. But if they actually believed his lies, yeah, I can't say they're very clever. So I'm curious to know what the smarter ones said. I guess they're going to say, no, we knew he was lying. We just, I don't know. Anyway, that failed. And I have no doubt his tax proposal will fail, too. We're going to get into that in the second half hour, where we're also going to talk about Mike Flynn, the first one of the president's men to be caught with his hands in the cookie jar. And it's interesting because Donald won't release his taxes, and he and Jared and Ivanka are profiting very well from the presidency. We'll get to all of that in the second half hour. First, let me take a call, and then, Ignacio, we're going to have to take a quick break after the call, and I'll give you some more time on the second half. But go ahead, Ignacio.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm good.
One of the things that I don't understand is how can America be so stupid? I mean, haven't we realized that this guy is a master bamboozler? I mean, everything he has done is done, but nothing but tear everything down. He tore up the trade agreement. He's trying to get rid of NAFTA. Do people realize why NAFTA was created in the first place? We get products from Mexico. We get products from Canada. So we don't have whole shipping costs like we can get the stuff from other countries. But to save on shipping costs and everything else, we get it locally, which is from Mexico or Canada. It saves us money.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, the Republicans used to be supporting all these trade deals. And then they suddenly switched over completely when Donald Trump changed his mind. My view on trade deals is that they need to be fair. They need to have, for example, labor and environmental standards. But I'm not against trade per se. I just want to have them fair to American workers. And But Donald Trump he's not subtle. He doesn't deal with gray. It's all black and white. It's all, you know, good or evil. And so, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing, Ignacio. I think you know that.
Basically, that's it. And I don't think America has realized he's just a bamboozler. He's bamboozling the American public, and people are taking it hook, line, and sinker. It's like, are we that stupid? Are we going to wait till it gets all torn apart? It reminds me of the kid you had in class that would say, oh, I can tear that engine apart. I can put it back together.
Yeah, and then they never can. And then they never can. Ignacio, stick around. I'm going to have to take another break. But I want others to call in and join me. 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. Yeah, we're all going to have to put together the mess that Donald Trump took apart. We'll be right back.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Trump's 100 days is upon us, and luckily for us Americans, he's a terrible negotiator. He does not know how to make a deal. He keeps trying to treat government like a business. I guess that's understandable, given that he's the first president of the United States to have zero experience in government. Every other president, at least, was in the legislature, was in a state government, was in the cabinet, had been in the military, done something. Not this guy. He seems to think that if you just simply harass people long enough, they'll cave in. And maybe that does work for a billionaire in the business world. Maybe if you just threaten and cajole everybody, they cave in all the time. I don't know. Donald Trump seems to lead to several bankruptcies. We'll never know. He won't release his tax returns. We won't know exactly what he's been involved in. But even if that kind of bluster, that kind of bluffing, that kind of worthless recriminations works in the business world, it doesn't work so much in the political world. What's Donald Trump going to do to people who are more popular than he is, with his opinion rating somewhere between 34% and 40%? He's not exactly he doesn't exactly have the political power to make a difference. I mean, he threatened his own Republican Party. He was going to run against them, really? Really, in 2018? They may want him to run against them, given how he's doing. Still got more to talk about. I want to talk about Donald Trump's tax plan. But first, let me get back to my caller, Ignacio, in Buena Park, California. If you want to call in, it's 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275.
Yeah, Mark.
Go ahead, Ignacio.
Yeah, the other thing was about this wall, this border wall. The other administrations already tried it once. They knew and they learned that you cannot build it because of the certain things along the border. Like, for example, people who own property along the border.
Right. They don't want you to take their property. That's right.
Yeah. How are they going to tell the farmers they can't get, you can't get water from the Rio Grande?
It's
really?
A problem.
I mean, how stupid can you be?
It's a problem. I mean, you were doing things like blocking off whole areas of Brownsville, Texas, where it was, it was American land. The city of Brownsville couldn't get to other parts of the city of Brownsville. It was a mess.
Exactly. You know, and I thought he said he was not going to have the American public pay for it.
No, he said Mexico was going to pay for it.
Budget.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's just another broken promise.
He's a bamboozler.
Well, see, that's
people don't believe it.
He's been a con man for only all of his life, from the time he was a young man and worked for his father, who was also a bamboozler. Even his son-in-law, Jared Kushner's, his father went to jail for tax evasion. It's kind of like the mafia taking control of the country. And what's interesting is that not only will he not release his tax returns, he won't even get his businesses in any kind of proper trust. The way his trust works, he can just grab all the money anytime he wants. So it's kind of a fake trust. In other words, he can purposely run the country in a way to pad his pockets. And in fact, when he charges our Secret Service hundreds of millions of dollars to defend him and charges him to stay at his resort, Mar-a-Lago. Can you believe that? Wouldn't you think he'd at least comp the Secret Service for defending him?
Exactly.
He's using our country as a massive piggy bank. But listen, this is the guy that did Trump University. This is the guy that took a couple YouTube videos and charged people $34,000 to watch them. This is the guy that has a history of lying and cheating people and going around and grabbing women by their private parts and bragging about it. That's who this guy is. But I got to tell you, Ignacio, I said this. You, I'm sure, said this. Radio hosts said this. Hillary Clinton said this. Bernie Sanders said this. We all said this before November 2016. And there's a certain segment of the country and they're not in California, and they're not where you are, but in the middle of the country, that feel angry, feel aggrieved, that don't feel like the politicians are listening to them, and they like someone who's just angry and yelling a lot. He's not doing anything to help them. In fact, he's harming them. But they love that he's fighting back. It's just a shame that, you know.
Well, let me ask you another.
You know, a mentally ill person fights back too. Just let me say that you know, sometimes if you're really mad at something, you could actually do something about it to fix the problem, or you could hire someone who's crazy. And the person who is literally off their rocker can yell and scream, and that might make you feel good, but they don't actually do anything to help you. And that's what we have in our president. Go ahead.
Yeah. The thing I wanted to ask you was, you said these people feel angry.
Right.
How are they going to feel when you don't have any food on your table? Because who's picking all your fruit and vegetables? Who's working on the killing floor of the slaughterhouses? You like your meat, you like your pork chops, you like your chicken, you like your...
So it's interesting, Ignacio. I'm of two minds about all this. See, part of me that has compassion and loves my country really wants Donald Trump to fail. I don't want his policies to succeed, because his policies, if he were to successfully deport millions of people, it would cause a massive economic problem to the United States. But because he's failing, because he doesn't know what he's doing, because the courts are stopping him, and because he's not achieving anything in legislation, I have a feeling the economy won't be that bad because he's not accomplishing anything. So then I'm afraid people will give him credit for basically not changing anything and continuing the good Obama economy. So it's kind of a win-win, lose-lose situation here. But I don't think he's going to succeed. And the question is, you know, what happens next? Because what he's trying to do is, well, is so incompetent.
Here's a solution to get his money for the wall. And I've never heard any candidate, I've never heard any president, I've never heard anybody, including Trump, they never talk about going after the employer that hires illegal aliens, because there's a $10,000 fine per head.
Yeah. And that would be really fair, except that those employers are the ones that are giving him all his money and giving the Republican Party all their money. Like, you know, he doesn't want to go after the Koch brothers or the other big companies that fund him. So, you know, he's going to go after the little guy, which really doesn't change anything, except it like you say, the courts stop it. And to the extent he's succeeding in scaring people, he's actually increasing crime, because people are less likely to report crimes. Hey, Ignacio, let me just ask you before you go. You're in Buena Park, California. Where are you listening to the show?
I listen on, what is it, iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio. Okay, terrific. How'd you find out about us?
I listen to Outfit out of Albuquerque.
Okay.
And that's what you're on. This hour, so that's how I ended up listening to you.
That's great. Well, let people know in Southern California that we're doing Progressive Radio. All right?
There you go, my brother. All right.
Thanks, Ignacio. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Before we go to break, I want to talk a little about fiscal conservatism. So what's a fiscal conservative? Some might call it a deficit hawk. It's someone who watches your money. Bill Maher used to joke that he liked Republicans and Democrats. Democrats he liked because they cared about people, they had empathy, they cared about people suffering. But when he wanted a mean old man to watch his money, he'd hire Republicans. They were fiscal conservatives. It's a good joke, but actually, it's not even true. Because the true fiscal conservatives, if you really care about not wasting money, you need to be a Democrat. Let me explain. Democrats believe, the nation's economists believe. You know, we believe in science. We believe in economics, which is a science. And any economics course will tell you, and not to brag, but just to let you know, I know what I'm talking about. I do have a degree, magna cum laude, from Harvard in macroeconomics, which is the study of nations and international economics, not how to run a business, but how the whole nation's and economy works. And basically, just to simplify it, when you're in recession, when you have high unemployment, when not enough people have work, as happened under the Great Depression, as happened under the Great Bush recession, that's when you need massive deficit spending. That's when you get a lot of bang for your buck. Because then when the government spends lots of money, even though you're running a deficit, more people get hired, and then they go out with the multiplier effect. What they do is they spend more, because they're earning more, and then those people get more money, and that's how an economy grows and grows and grows. That's how unemployment goes down. That's exactly how President Obama saved us from the Great Bush Recession. But when most people are working, when unemployment is low, when pretty much everyone has a job who wants one, and certainly America's unemployment is extremely low right now nationally. Now, I know there are certain pockets, particularly in rural America, that's why they're so upset, where things are not going well, where the old jobs are gone. And that's certainly something we have to work on in local areas, in rural areas. I'm not denying that. But nationally, when unemployment is very low, like it is now, or like it was in the late 1960s, then when you spend a lot of money, then when you go into deficit, that doesn't create jobs, because there's no one left really to hire. Everyone who has a job, who's qualified for a job, gets that job. So all it does is it increases prices. You got all this money being spent, everyone bids up everything, and prices go through the roof, and that's what causes inflation. So in the 1960s, when Lyndon Johnson, who otherwise was a pretty good president, but to fund the war in Vietnam, instead of raising taxes to pay for it, he decided to do massive deficit spending to pay for it. Unemployment was already very low. And his mistakes in the 1960s gave us the great, horrible inflation of the 1970s. That was a very bad decade for the economy. And that had high inflation and then later on high unemployment. The same thing happened, by the way, under George W. Bush. He didn't want to pay for his wars in Iraq and Afghanistan by raising taxes. So he spent, and in spending, he drove the bottom out of the economy. So there's a time to spend and a time to save, the Bible tells us. And economists will tell you exactly the same thing. In hard times, in times of high unemployment, in times of recession, that's the time you want to do deficit spending. That lowers unemployment, and it doesn't really increase inflation because there's so much capacity in the economy. And that's why we have one of the best economies America has had in, well, decades. And President Obama, thanks, Obama, you did it, along with Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen. That's why we have the lowest unemployment and the lowest inflation we've had since, well, John F. Kennedy, since the early 1960s. But that, when you have that situation, now is not the time to spend. Now is not the time to save. I've talked about Joseph's dream in the Bible. Remember that? Joseph told the Pharaoh that in the great years of great surplus, you need to save the grain, because after 7 years of fat cows, you can have 7 years of thin cows, 7 years of famine. You save the grain so you can use it when you're starving. Well, we're in good times now. Now is not the time to spend a bunch of money. Now is not the time to give massive tax breaks to corporations and not paying for it. So right now, Democrats are fiscal conservatives. They're saying, whoa, don't pay for these tax cuts. We can't afford them. And all it will do, it won't even help the economy. It won't cause unemployment to go down, which is already low. It won't help the structural unemployment that's in rural areas. All it will do is cause inflation to go up. Don't make the Lyndon Johnson mistake. But Donald Trump's tax plan is exactly that. He wants to lower the corporate tax rate from 35 to 15%. He doesn't mention that 3/4 of American corporations don't pay any taxes whatsoever. So actually the effective tax rate in America is only 9% or 25%, because 75% of them don't pay taxes anyway. And what he wants to do is he wants to make sure that corporations abroad, American corporations abroad, don't have to pay American taxes anymore. So if you've got Exxon or Apple or IBM or you name it, Facebook, Google, if you got big companies doing business in China, currently they have to pay U.S. tax. He wants to stop that. Now think about how that incentivizes a company. If you're taxed when you have hire American workers, but you're not taxed when you hire Chinese workers, who are cheaper than American workers anyway because they're willing to work in substandard conditions 12 hours a day for a buck an hour or a buck a day, well, that just encourages you to go to China. That causes more outsourcing. Donald Trump ran as the candidate to help working class people, to help rural America get their factories back. And yet his tax proposal increases the incentives for companies to shut down American companies and to go abroad. And where does this great money go to? Well, it goes to the corporations, the CEOs. Some of the richest people in the world will make more money. And yes, if you're a shareholder, it will help you in the stock market. I admit it. But it won't help the majority of Americans. And then we have this massive deficit. And who's going to pay it back? And remember how Republicans used to be deficit hawks under Barack Obama? Remember how they used to complain all the time when President Obama was spending when he needed to spend? When he had the stimulus package, we were in the middle of a great recession. He was spending at the time, Franklin Roosevelt would tell you the same thing, in time of depression and recession, that's when you need to spend. Republicans were complaining then. I guess they wanted the Herbert Hoover strategy. They wanted us to go deeper and deeper and deeper into depression. But now is not the time to spend. Obama has saved the economy. He has taken the car, he's taken it out of the ditch, and he's ready to go flying off, to compound my metaphor, to fly even above ground. And Donald Trump wants to drive the car right back into the ditch, dig a big hole. This is the wrong time for deficit spending. If you believe like I do in being a fiscal conservative today, you need to be a Democrat. And it'll be interesting, because I think this tax proposal will fail, because there's still a few Republicans, a few, not majority, but a minority of Republicans who actually have some principles, who ran for office saying they were deficit hawks and aren't quite ready to flip-flop and throw away all their old rhetoric. And between them and the Democrats, I don't think this Donald Trump tax proposal will go any further than his wall or health care or any of the other stupid things that he's messing up. I think, yes, this will fall by the wayside as well. What do you think? 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Got just a few minutes left and two callers. I want to get to both of you. First, Jake, line three, Eureka, California. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mark. So Donald Trump's plan to cut corporate tax rates, the highest corporate tax rates, from 35% to 15%, is going to fail just like everything else he's proposed legislatively.
Right.
This would be the biggest tax decrease for corporate America in American history. It would explode the deficit and the debt.
Right.
And like you said, there's still a few fiscal conservatives left in the Republican Party, and there are enough of them to stop this from happening in the first place. And when Donald Trump won't release his own tax returns, and in the past has bragged saying only stupid people pay taxes.
Yeah.
He's like a smart guy, right?
He's
like the male version of Leona Helmsley.
I was just thinking, Leona Helmsley said only the little people pay taxes.
Yeah,
Donald Trump did something on his taxes that is truly amazing. He lost $1 billion of other people's money and then somehow managed to deduct it on his taxes and made Congress the next year say, I know you can't do that. But I don't know how you lose $1 billion first place and then lose other people's money and then deduct it on your taxes. But this is not a guy who's actually, what can I say?
Exactly. And the idea that Republicans from here on out are going to claim to be fiscal conservatives when this is the guy they voted for president, yeah, don't take it seriously, folks. The real fiscal conservatives.
They never have been.
The Democrats are the real fiscal conservatives.
Here's how it works. When Trump is president, they're not fiscal conservatives. When Obama's president, they are. When George Bush is president, oh, no, they want to spend like a drunken sailor. When Bill Clinton is president, now they're fiscal conservatives. When Reagan and Bush are president, oh, no, spend as much as possible. When Jimmy Carter's president, they're fiscal conservatives. You get how it works. If a Democrat's president, that's the only time Republicans are fiscal conservatives. Thanks for your call, Jake. I want to quickly get to John, line one in Dallas. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Mark.
Hey there.
Why didn't Hillary just run on the economy? And at the success of President Obama's economy, why didn't GDP ever do anything? Why did it stall out for every year he's in office?
I wouldn't say GDP has stalled out. I think we've had solid growth every year since 2010. It's gone up, but 1 or 2%. You know, you don't get the kind of roaring growth that you have when you're in deep recession. Ronald Reagan had a much deeper recession. And so because unemployment was over 10%, we got even worse than it did in the Bush recession. And then you can kind of move out of the – if you dig a really deep trench, you can climb out of it faster than when the trench doesn't go that low. But I would say the economy's booming. I think we're doing really well. I think everything from the stock market to unemployment to inflation shows that President Obama's economy is doing really well. We'll see if Trump mucks it all up. But for now, economies lag 9 months to a year. We're still living off the great economy. I agree with you. Hillary Clinton should have run more on Obama's economy. Thanks for your calls, everybody. I'll be back on Monday. Same time, same channel.